Want to have your product or business featured on this podcast? Get in touch with us. Contact us through the website at podastery.com for more information.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
Hey,
Bo. Good evening, man.
Good evening to you, sir. How are you doing tonight?
Man, I'm doing great. I just feel like we've come off kind of a couple week high here.
And,
man, it's just been a lot of fun last few weeks. Yeah, we've had a really good few days at the shop, and man, glad to be here.
Yeah, so of course, you know, for those of you who've been sitting under a rock, or in case this is your first episode of Country Squire Radio,
yeah,
welcome. But we just got back from the New Orleans Pipe Show. We had a blast.
It was
we
so
there.
Much fun, dude. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And I try to put out, you know, it's kind of interesting. I try to put out this really awesome episode to kind of bring some of y'all along with us. I'm kind of proud of it. I feel like it turned out really, really well.
No, you should be. It kind of embodied, I think, the festiveness of, you know, what we experienced down there. And, you know, we just got to meet a lot of really interesting people, see some really cool stuff, smoke a lot of great tobacco, and, you know, shenanigans ensued.
As they are wont to do.
I mean, it's in New Orleans, so what would you expect?
Oh, man, it was a lot of fun, and we've got stories to tell. But first, we got to give some shout-outs to some listeners who we met. What we did, I had this thought of any listener who comes up, I'll have almost like a guest book, and they'll be able to sign their name, and that way we can shout them out.
Yeah.
And kind of give them a shout-out. And I kept on forgetting to get people's names. So bad. But we did actually grab a couple of names. So we want to mention, of course, Wes, Al Jones, Ryan Smith, Patrick Barrett, and Donald Jelpy, who came by and signed our guest book. I wish that I had been better about getting people to sign their names.
Because we had a lot more, too.
We met so many of you guys, and it was so awesome. And, of course, you know, we tried to pull a few people on mic, too, when they came. I think Wes was actually the first person.
Wes was. He hopped on first. I think he was followed pretty close thereafter, maybe by Two Combs, our local pipe carver. I can't remember. I know Donald Jelpy was on there for a while, kind of talking about some of his music and all that. And we had a lot of folks stop by. It was so fun to be able to experience folks in person that we've, you know, talked to from all over the country. So
one of the great things is we had the big meetup afterwards.
Yeah,
we had about like 20 people or so show up, and it kind of became this little after party.
For the whole show.
Yeah, it was so fun.
Yeah, it was great.
And so we were at the Cigar Factory in New Orleans on Decatur.
Right.
And just had a great crew. You and I, we hightailed it out there with the goal of getting there early. And we actually got beat up, Jelpy and Pie Lawrence.
We spent too much time eating our oysters.
Dude, we did not spend enough time eating our oysters.
They were fine.
They were delicious.
They were fine.
That is why you go down the coast right there.
But look, I mean, you go to a place like New Orleans, you eat fresh food, and then you have time, you know, if you have to rush by the little, you know, corner grocery store in the French Quarter and get your bourbon and then go down the street. And the folks at you know, the Cigar Factory were so accommodating to us. I mean, it was just a perfect spot. People brought the pipes that they had bought that day, tobaccos they had swapped. Folks were buying the delicious cigars they had that they hand roll right there in the Cigar Factory. It was great.
Oh, it's a beautiful experience. And actually, you know, we've got a shop talk that we'll be putting out soon with the one of the owners of the Cigar Factory. They let us bring in a cooler, so we had whiskey.
Oh,
it was so much fun. I picked up, you know, the Cigar Factory is known for their cigars.
Sure.
But they do have
I thought they were known for their poodles.
They were.
What? Okay. Tell us what you have, Bo.
They actually do have a very, very few pipe blends that they have there. Mm-hmm. And they actually had a bourbon blend.
Yeah, that's great.
And I felt like, you know, actually I was going to get their rum blend because I wanted to actually also get the rum cigar, which I did. But I thought, you know what? This is New Orleans.
Yeah.
I should try their bourbon blend.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, man.
Was it tasty? Did you smoke it that night? Is that what you were?
I did.
Yeah.
Give that a whiff right there. Tell me what the tobacconist thinks.
Wow.
That's pretty strong right there. They case it up. They case it up right. It
smells like raisins.
Don't you dare.
It doesn't. It smells great.
I know.
Yeah. It's kind of a, I get a little amaretto in there, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's really nice. But it's one of those aromatics that, you know, it smells like it's heavily cased, but it certainly doesn't look like it'd gunk your pipe up. So,
No. Look, this was a great thing. They were so kind. Not only did I get a chance to talk to them, they actually took me back to where they age their tobaccos as well in the back.
Yeah.
And like this big, I don't even know what you call it, but essentially the humidor where all of the leaves are all pressed up on top of each other. Because again, what ends up happening happening is they take those leaves and they roll the cigars right there on the floor. It was one of the coolest spots I think that we could have found to do a big listener meetup like this. And
it was great.
A lot of fun. And thank you for everybody who came out. But we also got to give a little bit of shout out to, you know, I got
the
showered.
Swag.
Dude, I got showered with gifts.
You got stuff, man.
This was insane. So, all right. So, first of all, I don't think he meant this to be any kind of huge gift, but anytime anybody
is
gives me anything.
Is that a Brebbia pipe tamp?
Is it? It is.
Ooh, it's so shiny.
This is actually from Jelpy. So, while we were there, I you know, we were in such a rush to get there and pick up the whiskey and the ice and everything in order to prepare for the meetup. That I completely forgot to get all.
You left your hardware.
I left all my hardware. I had my pipe.
Right.
But I forgot like my tamp and everything else.
Yep.
And being that they are such a cigar shop and not really a pipe shop,
they didn't really have it.
They didn't have nails or anything.
Right.
And so.
And weren't you using like a bent paper clip for a while?
You know, I think I even showed
ugly.
You. Yeah. Look, I was impressed with that little bit. It taught me back to tamping that ash, man.
No, yeah, so you got you do anything you have to tamp the ash.
Exactly. Look, man, I bent the thing. It was actually not a bad little pipe tool, if I do say so. But thank you. Thankfully, Donald Jelpy was kind enough. He actually gave me one of his tamps. And so I've got this. This is now one of
Very
my
nice.
Preferred tamps.
One of your preferred Brebbia square horseshoe nail tamps.
This is the nicest tamp I own. Because all of the ones that I own are all stolen from your shop.
I don't know that. That's true. That's why I have to paint them with pink fingernail polish.
Which is not that, you know, it's not entirely true. Actually, I do have a Morta Davern pipe tamp as
That's
well.
That's a nice tamp.
That is a really nice tamp.
That's
as
a
well.
Nice tamp. Yeah. What else do you have, dude?
All right. So also got a little Old Dark fired.
Did our friend at MacBaron USA give you that?
You know, so Brian Levine. Right. If you saw it on Facebook, not only did we get a lot of chances, some great time to hang out with him in New Orleans. That guy. Let me tell you something about Brian Levine.
what
that
is
guy
not to say about
let
Brian
me
Levine.
Let me tell you, Brian Levine, you're listening, sir, and you are a jerk because you would not let us buy your drinks, you would not let us buy your food, and in fact all you did was shower us with gifts and buy all of our food and drink. And so next time we're coming for you.
We're coming for you, baby.
I just want you to know, next time you're in town, if wherever in your town,
you will
we're
be showered with beautiful things.
No, he's incredibly generous. It was a wonderful time.
It was great.
But yeah, he brought us gave me a little bit of tobacco.
Old Dark fired, man. Yeah, that's delicious stuff. Did you try this yet, Bo?
I have not.
Yeah, this is really tasty. Of course, the Fleur de Lis tobacco that we did for the New Orleans Pipe Show has Dark Fired Kentucky Burley in it. This features that, but this has been actually heated and pressed, like under significant amounts of heat and pressure.
Mm.
And it just really makes bold flavors come out that I think are unique to this tobacco in particular.
I'm looking forward to trying it.
Yeah, you might want to smoke it on a full stomach.
Well, good to know. Good to know. Today was not a full stomach kind of day for me.
No, it wasn't.
But look, all right, so this is really great too. This right here, Missouri Meerschaum Pipe, one of their little stubby, this is a limited edition.
Okay.
This is actually a gift from Pam and Phil.
Yeah,
of Missouri Meerschaum.
Morgan, right? Yeah. That are at Missouri Meerschaum.
Yeah, yeah.
So they gave you that pipe.
The owners of Missouri Meerschaum, they actually gave me this pipe. It was such a beautiful little pipe. I cannot wait to bust this out.
Yeah, man.
But I've been like all of these things, I've kind of put them off to the side to make sure that I could show them off on the show.
That's great.
And it's a gorgeous little pipe. Like I said, this is actually a limited edition. She was telling me they found a barrel of these stems.
Yeah.
And they made this edition, and they're like, as soon as we run out of the stems, we're no longer making this
it's
size.
It's funny, I was
style.
Looking at that. I've never seen a Cobb, to my knowledge anyway, with a short ebonite saddle bit stem. That is mm-hmm. really interesting. Yeah, it's almost like a small little what would you call that, like a Lavat
maybe
or something. I don't know, but it's I love that, man.
Cool
love
pipe
that.
You know, the cool thing about the folks at Missouri Meerschaum, you know, while we were there, we were showcasing, you know, I really wanted to kind of showcase the community that surrounds our show.
Yeah.
And so I got it, you know, I had the what I call the Salmon Slayer, the custom pipe that Mark made for me,
mm-hmm.
or that Mike made for me. And it was, you know, it was based, like the base pipe of that custom build is a Missouri Meerschaum pipe. So I got to take it over to him and show him, you know, what one of our listeners had done and kind of customized it.
That is cool.
And so I was like, you know, I don't know, you might want to reach out to him. He's got some good ideas. Might want to, you know, see about getting recruiting that talent right
Might be
there.
Some job opportunities there.
And I've got another one that I'm going to talk about in a minute.
Yeah.
But first, this one didn't actually come from New Orleans, but I got to give a shout out.
Yeah, tell me about this, dude. That is really something.
This is awesome, man. This is Scott Elve, our friend in Grand Rapids,
yeah.
who sent us those pipes. You know, I've mentioned this pipe specifically on the show before.
Yeah.
While I was in Grand Rapids, he busted out a bunch of his pipes and just gorgeous work. This one in particular stood out to me because it's a Morta pipe. I don't know if you could see it there on the YouTube channel or not.
Morta pipe, smooth morta.
Extremely
just,
smooth.
Kind of trademark, a dark finish on it, but then it's got a bamboo shank.
Yeah. And this is gorgeous. And I fell in love with it. I just saw it and I was like, that is so cool. The bowl in particular just really catches my eye. And
so,
of course,
so he sent it
shank.
To you just to so you could look at it and then send it back.
No, this is so he was showing it to me. And the thing is, it was broken.
Yeah.
The specifically where the shank met the bowl. I think that was where it was. It might have been actually up the stem.
Yeah.
But one way or the other, it was broken. And so we were tweeting Reborn, and he was giving some tips. And so what he did, if I'm not mistaken from what I remember seeing, I think he actually cut down the bamboo and reattached it.
Okay.
So it can't come off anymore.
Sure.
But it's just, I mean, that's
whoa, what a nice little pipe, though.
Gorgeous work of art right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he not only did send that, and this is the cool thing, he also did a little sketch of R2-D2 holding a pipe and just kind of enjoy the pipe. And so I think
that's wonderful.
I think I posted that already to Facebook. If I didn't, I'll repost it just because that sketch is also just tremendous.
That's great.
All right.
Dude, some good swag, man. Walked away from a couple weeks with some really cool stuff.
Yeah, man. And it's good. I needed the uplifting stuff because not all of the pipe show was all ups.
There were some hiccups here and there. One thing about going to New Orleans every time you do go, it's, there's unexpected. You know, you're always worrying about, what are you going to eat? How much money you're going to spend? Want to go to certain parts of town, but avoid other parts of town, perhaps. And then there's parking.
There is parking. And, I have always been of the mindset that, sometimes it's cheaper to get a ticket than it is to park your car.
Well, especially when you're in a hurry and you've got a lot going on.
Well, okay, so you're trying to find a parking spot like you do, like I was. Mm-hmm. And not only was I trying to find a parking spot, but it was the night before the show. I wanted to find a spot that was close by the place that we were staying. And then also, I had to get going because a long smoke competition was about to start.
That's right.
And I couldn't miss that.
No,
of course not. And so I parked the car, and I knew, I'll confess right now, I knew it wasn't a parking spot.
You knew
spot.
It was illegal.
I knew it wasn't a real parking spot.
Is illegal too strong of a word? I mean, you knew it was an improper parking spot. But, I mean, this is the thing, like, talking to Bo, it's like, well, I mean, it was questionable, right? Because there was this yellow line, and it was, like, behind the car, but there was another line in front of the car. And, I'm just like, I'm trying to be a good buddy, just kind of tracking with him. Yeah, man, absolutely.
So you're straight up breaking the
totally
law.
Totally understand. And, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, like, you're a felon. You might as well be a felon.
Oh, my gosh. Well, here's the thing, because afterwards, after we go, we do the long smoke competition, was great, talk about that in a minute, and then I take you and a couple of listeners, a couple of friends out to Frenchman and give you kind of my cliff notes.
Yeah.
We had a wonderful dinner, and we're heading back, and I'm like, just look at this spot for me just to make sure it's okay. And we walk by there and the car is gone, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, my wife's gonna kill me. Someone stole our car. Thankfully, the car was impounded.
Thankfully. Have you ever said that in your life? Like, thankfully, the car was impounded.
Only after that night have I ever said that.
Yeah. You didn't weep, and you didn't even curse, but, like, you handled it really well. I have to say, like, you handled it well. Like, you were definitely, it was definitely that bow that, like, got a little hyped up, but, you handled it well. Things could have gone a lot worse.
Could have gone a lot worse, and thankfully, our good buddy to Combs of Rocks Pipes was kind enough that morning, woke up, and not only did he come and get us and bring us out to the show so we could unload,
right,
he also took me to go get the car out of the impound,
right.
And it was a long morning. Suffice to say, it was not the quick 15 minutes.
And several hundred dollars later, you were at the pipe show.
Well, I made it back. See, we got there. We were supposed to get the pipe show like 2 or 3 hours early in order to set up. We get there. We unload. Two takes me out to the impound. I'm there for about 2 to 3 hours. I make it back to the pipe show in about 15 minutes to go.
Right.
And I am frantically trying to set up because, of course, we did a live stream and everything else.
Yeah.
And it was
a hit.
Man.
But, right.
It was a hectic hit, but it was a hit.
It was.
Anyway, all that to say, it was a rough morning. It took up a couple $100s, the money that I would have spent I would have used to actually buy a pipe.
You sold a few mugs. It worked out.
I sold a couple mugs. But point being, like, that was going to be my pipe money.
Yeah.
And so I got to give him a shout out. Wes and then also Pi Lawrence, both after hearing my tale of woe.
Yep. Wes Brown and James Foster.
James Foster. I always call him Pi Lawrence, but yeah. James who
both of Austin and
And representing the Austin Pipe Club well, man. They were so kind. They chipped in And not only did they buy me a pipe, they bought me a beautiful Rocks Morta pipe.
A Rocks Morta pipe.
And this is so cool. And you know, we've talked a little, I feel like we might have mentioned this pipe before on the show. It was one of the most talked about pipes on at the pipe show. And what you can see from the live show, and of course, if you're not on the live show, you listen on the podcast, this is a Morta, kind of a large cylindrical bowl.
Like a tankard. Yeah.
Like a tankard with a metal shank connected to a short stem.
Right.
And this, it's such a unique style. And I remember the first time he showed me this, and I was kind of like, you know, that metal's going to heat up. Are you crazy?
Thought he was, you thought he was pulling your chain.
I thought he was pulling my chain.
Right. That's the thing, because it's really unique. And this is a thing. You do see this occasionally, but it's just kind of a niche thing. It's one of those things like you get an incredible, you know, stylized bowl on this deal, a really simple, you know, a steel tube there. And then it's finished with just a beautiful, very small, elegant Cumberland, you know, green Cumberland stem.
Man, it is a gorgeous pipe. And here's the thing, the longer that, like, because I saw it about a week or two before Eden told me he was bringing it to the show, and he was like, yeah, it's a Morta pipe because of the metal stem. It's more affordable. It's a unique style. I've never seen anybody do a metal stem with Morta.
Yeah.
And I'm telling him the whole time, like, you know, that metal's going to heat up. And so I was waiting in the wings because either A, someone was going to buy it, and I was going to wait till they bought it and smoked it so I could hold that metal because I wanted to know what that was all about. Or I was going to try to see if I could work a deal with them once the show was all over.
Right.
Well, Wes and James, actually, they said, you know, throw two in here as well because he cut us a deal.
He did.
And they got this pipe for me as a gift and turned my negative impound experience into a happy story.
You had all this ridiculously negative, like, chi that morning that was, like, funneled into this, like, cluster of goodness with this beautiful gift.
Well, I got to tell you, this pipe
is awesome.
This pipe right here, and if you've on Facebook, you saw my most interesting man in podcasting picture that Wes actually took.
It was pretty hot.
This right here is a amazing smoke.
Yeah.
And, like, the cool thing is that metal does not heat up at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Two is onto something. I told him, like, this style is so unique, so you know, different. And he wants to make a couple of others like this.
There's a theme for this, right? Something y'all are kind of developing?
Well, we're thinking about it. So it's the cool thing is, again, you know, Morta, this extremely old wood with that metal, that modern stem.
Right.
And I told him, I was like, man, you called it, like, I think this shape right here, I think he should, like, own it and call it the Rhino.
That's the Rhino.
That's the Rhino.
Well, and if you
I'm calling it a Rhino.
It kind of looks like a Rhino.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those that, like, it's going to be in your face, it's strong, but it's smooth.
And it smokes amazing. Smokes amazingly. So anyway, I wanted to show that off. Say again, thank you so much to Wes, James, and Two. And also, look for the Rhino. Ask Rocks Pipe. Say, I want my Rhino.
I want more Rhino.
That is it's such a cool smoke. And I would have never thought that little metal shank would end up being cool the entire time you're smoking. It's a beautiful pipe.
It worked out great. It was really fun to get to see you smoking that later that night too. You know, Bo, before we move on to our main topic as well for the night, I've kind of been having some trouble lately. Can you give me some pointers on maybe how to keep my pipe lit?
Well, you know, I was wondering if you had some sense of an adequacy or...
There's something that's just kind of been nagging me. I don't really, you know, have the ability like I used to just to keep my tobacco lit. I don't know. Do you have anything? Maybe you could share some words of wisdom from someone that has such an esteemed track record of keeping their pipe
this
lit.
This is so like John David. After giving me so much crap for so long, he comes in here so humble about the fact that, yes, ladies and gentlemen, I beat him. I beat him, and I beat a lot of people at the New Orleans pipe.
You handled it well.
Dude, I came in at 25 minutes even in that long smoke competition.
So we had a long smoke competition in New Orleans.
That's right.
And the Magnolia Pipe Club was challenged by the NOLA, the New Orleans Pipe Club. And we had other folks, too, that were from all over the country there that were kind of joining in. The problem with the event was that it was super windy, and it was outside, so that was a curveball. But Bo, I have to give you mad props, man. You dominated,
dude.
And you didn't just dominate, you dominated me.
You told me going into this, I remember when we were in the apartment,
right?
You were like, look, you cannot mess this up. like you gave me like a serious talk, like, you don't embarrass me like that again type of talk.
Like, it's like, Bo, you're half of Country Squire Radio.
You
like,
know, like, you even expected me to do bad. Do you remember that? You were like, look, after you bomb this time again, when you redo this again at the Magnolia Pipe,
right.
Pipe Long Smoke,
right.
you're not. We're gonna practice.
We're practicing.
You got to bone up, man, because you cannot embarrass me again.
I really did. I was like, man, after this, after you bombed this one,
ye of little faith, and I schooled your.
You did. You really did. You beat me by a solid 4 minutes. Okay, that which is great.
Respect.
I mean, now, in that kind of conditions, I was.
Those kind of conditions.
There were terrible conditions, you know, and I had the flu, and you know, I was crying over something else. And
now, look, the beautiful thing, of course, if you heard the episode prior to the show, me and Toby had a side bet going of whichever one would be out first would buy the other person's drink.
Toby, of course, one of the main figures of the New Orleans Pipe Club and really the organizer of the event.
The entire thing.
Right.
And so me and Toby ended up, I mean, just at the exact same time.
Yeah.
Going out the
you
exact
went out
same time.
At 25 minutes
straight up.
And both of y'all at the same time. It was really great. But you know, you stole the show.
Oh, look, it was because when I walked up, and again, I was late because I was trying to park everything, and I got there just in time. I had people heckling me that I had never met before because this was my first time getting involved with it, because you got to go on the pre-tour and everything else. I didn't get to do that. So it's all of a sudden people are like, all right, where's Bo? Who's Bo? Where's Bo?
So it was really funny because so many people, for those of y'all that maybe are just now joining Country Squire Radio that haven't listened
That's
before,
good.
You know, let's give a little background here. Like last year, about a year ago, Bo did his first long smoke competition at the Country Squire here in Jackson. We had our Magnolia Pipe Club competition, and Bo, you know, Bo had this monkey on his back, okay, because he had come in. This is a year ago. This is a former Bo, but he had come in. You know, first place. By exiting the competition in about 4 minutes.
Close to two or something ridiculous. Like
and
that.
So, no, it's 4.5 minutes.
All right,
it's 4.5 solid
I'll take
minutes.
That.
But anyway, so, you know, everyone was kind of making it this big deal. Bo got all, you know, he was a great sport, but all year he kind of had this monkey on his back. It's one of these things like, oh, well, you know, obviously Bo's going to go out first, so you don't have to worry about, you know, being the first one out and all this stuff. You think Bo can make it past 3 minutes? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And there was even like, you know, some talk about maybe, well, you know, maybe once Bo makes it to 5 minutes in the New Orleans smoke, like maybe everyone stands up and kind of claps and like gives Bo a round of applause for beating his record and all that kind of stuff. And you know, this is after Bo had had kind of a tough couple of days. You know, I mean, it's just stressful. It was before he got his car impounded, but you know, it was an eventful evening. And you know, so you know, there we are. It's windy and you know, it's crazy. And I'm like, it's a miracle anyone's keeping their pipe lit. And then, you know, 5 minutes goes by, and 10 minutes goes by, and 15, 20 minutes go by, and John David's pipe goes out, and a few other people's pipe goes out, and there's Bo.
Yeah, it's just me.
Congratulations, just me. Man. You did well.
Thank you. Yeah, I was very pleased with the outcome there. So, anyway, and hey, speaking of which, we do actually do have a long smoke competition coming up soon.
We do. That's actually on November 6th. The Magnolia Pipe Club here in Jackson is going to, you know, host that at the Country Squire. It's a $25 admission fee. You can get your ticket online, and you don't have to be a member of the local pipe club. We've got folks that last year came. Actually, Pile Orange was able to make it from Austin. We had folks come from Memphis, you know, Pontotoc, Hattiesburg.
It's a big event.
All over the state, yeah.
Yeah,
and also from Louisiana. And we may have even had someone from Birmingham, too. I can't remember. But it's just a great, great event. You know, food, music, lots of, you know, free beer and all that kind of stuff. And, of course, a long smoke competition sponsored by our incredible friends at Rocks Pipes. Two is donating one of his beautiful pipes for this event. Toby Ducote and Block and Briar International. The folks there have donated a Davern pipe, a Davern Briar pipe, beautiful Adriatic Briar that'll be available too. And then last and certainly not least, I'm really excited to announce that Petter Jeppesen with Nierup has donated two pipes for our event. One of his higher-end Ida blasted pipes. It's going to be just gorgeous, gorgeous pipe. I saw a photo of it today. He's shipping it to me tomorrow, actually. But just a gorgeous Ida pipe with a matching tamp really pretty. And then also donating another pipe to be given away as a door prize for the event. So anyway, if you're in the Jackson area, November 6th, that's a Friday night, 6:30, $25. Come on.
It's going to be fun, man.
See you there. Yeah.
I'm debating whether or not to actually sit down. And I mean, my $25.
Yeah, why do you have to practice now, Bo? You know, I mean, basically, I mean, really, you shouldn't even show up. I mean, you've kind of, you know.
I should feel like go out on a high note, right?
You know,
hey, speaking
you
of
don't
going
want to
out,
school anyone.
Speaking of going out on a high note, I don't know how that's a good transition, but we're doing a Squire
either.
Select tonight.
We are doing a Squire Select tonight. Yeah, man, this is great. We've got a couple of really interesting things to talk about tonight. You know, if you're a listener, obviously, you know, Squire Select, we talk about some of our favorite whiskeys, maybe some interesting things we haven't tried before, or other beverages as well. And then we typically will pair it with, you know, some tobacco that we think are kind of a fun pair. So brought a couple interesting things tonight that, yeah, I thought we'd take a look at. This first one, both of these are going to be blended scotches. And, you know, we don't drink a ton of blended scotches.
Interesting.
But, you know, I thought we'd go with something a little different just because, you know, we have the opportunity to try different things.
Absolutely.
This is really cool. This is a brand called Sheep Dip. And and see, it's got a little ram's head on there. It's a Sheep Dip Isla blended malt scotch whiskey, a blend of Isla malt whiskeys. And you probably can't see it from there, but there's like a ram's sheep head on the front of this deal. And like most Isla whiskeys, now this is going to be heavy peat, lots of smoke, and this is a blend, of course. It's going to have a variety of, you know, different distilleries kind of featured here. There's a medicinal component to it. And even, you know, folks get that kind of, it's always weird when you talk about these things regarding to liquor, but, you know, you hear people talk about things like seaweed and iodine and all these different things. I don't really know. I just know it tastes really good.
Yeah, I was about to say, that does not make any sense considering how good it tastes.
Let me pour us a dram here.
Yeah, please do.
And we'll partake.
Absolutely.
All right, Sheep Dip Isla blended malt scotch whiskey.
What year?
It's actually not marked, and a lot of whiskeys are doing that now.
That's how you know it's the good stuff.
Right, something like that.
Let's see.
Cheers. So you immediately get peat.
But a different kind of peat than, yeah, I'm used to.
Well, it's... When you hear someone say medicinal with a scotch, does that make sense to you after,
yeah,
you try,
oh, yeah,
something,
absolutely,
like this? Now, there's almost, with this, I wouldn't call it a sourness, but there's something like when you first do drink it that kind of, almost like a bourbon or a, you know, rye or something, it kind of makes your face kind of want to squinch up. You know what I mean? I don't know.
It's maybe, I mean, for me, it's not necessarily when I first drink it. It's actually the aftertaste.
Okay.
Because for one thing, I like peat.
Yeah.
And typically the peatier the better. But something about this, like the first draw is good.
Yeah.
But kind of the aftertaste, kind of almost like, I think you said sour.
Yeah.
Almost like there's kind of a sourness.
There's a little sourness that I think kind of comes in there on the end. Yeah. It's interesting. But yeah, Sheep Dip Isla blended malt scotch whiskey. Tonight, I thought this would be kind of interesting just as a more peaty Isla blend. I thought I'd bring with us tonight GL Peace's Gaslight. Of course, Greg Peace, really good friend of the show and of the Country Squire. Just a really, really great blender. Someone I want to grow up and be one day, even though he's probably like 2 years old.
We got to have him on the show.
We do. We need to get Greg on. But Gaslight, of course, probably one of his best sellers. And it's one of those tobaccos, you open the tin and it's just kind of got that magic note to it. Gaslight, of course, Virginia. Lots of Latakia, and then you know, some Oriental leaves in there too. It's a plug, so it's full leaves that have been, you know, pressed into this really magnificent brownie. But take a look at that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Give her a whiff.
Mm.
Real rich.
Yeah.
Velvety. It's one of those, the Virginias in that are these dark, rich red and black Virginias that just have a real savory kind of component to them. So I think with a peaty whiskey that's super smooth, it pairs really well.
Yeah, I can
see that.
I thought
it'd be a good match for the Sheep Dip.
Well, I got a question for you. So
yeah,
when you mentioned kind of that it looks kind of almost like a brownie, right, and kind of the way that it's packaged up,
sure,
and pressed together. What is the appropriate method for breaking that apart to put in your pipe?
Sure.
Like, is it like a flake where you rub it?
Well, yeah, with plug tobacco, and, you know, this is kind of a loose plug, and I've kind of worked some of it apart
already.
But, you know, you've got full leaves. Flake tobacco typically is where you've got, you know, tobacco that's been shredded or kind of worked apart that are then pressed into flakes. But the plug tobacco, it's a full leaf product that's actually been put into this form. And then, you know, chopped up after it's been put, you know, several thousands of pounds of pressure on it into these little cubes. And so we've actually got one customer and friend at the Squire named Thomas. Thomas lives in Pearl and is a student at Ole Miss, but he's also in the Army Guard. And Thomas, what's interesting about Thomas, he loves plug tobacco because in the Guard, he can just throw it in his rucksack and not have to even worry about having the tin because it's always this hard little brownie thing that kind of stays together. Mm. It's pretty cool. When you're ready to smoke some, you take your little, you know, plug out and you just, you know, take a pocket knife or whatever, you know, sharp object's kind of handy and just start chipping away at it.
Interesting.
And so you're kind of basically making your own ribbons out of out of this.
Well, and it makes it, because it looks like, you know, I think about flake and how tough flake can be sometimes.
Yeah.
And this does not seem to be this. Although, as you say, you've kind of already worked it out.
I have worked it out some, but it is, I mean, honestly, what I've already done with it has been completely by hand.
Really?
So, yeah. Okay. And even, you know, if you do it by hand, you can still kind of work it loosely in your pipe. The leaves are still going to be mostly together, but, you know, they'll be chunky enough to where you can still put them in your pipe and smoke them as long as it's kind of loosely packed. So, but really optimally, you know, you're going to take a pocket knife, scrape some off, cut it into fine slices, and then, and then smoke it. Yeah.
I want to read what he's got on the side.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah.
On a misty, moonless night, along twisted cobblestone lanes illuminated only by the glow of ancient iron lanterns, you follow a scent as dark as the night itself. This exotic fragrance, hauntingly familiar, compelling, irresistible.
Greg Peace, the Bard.
I'm telling you, man. Greg, did you write this?
I don't know, but it's pretty great.
It's great.
Yeah, everything he does kind of has this.
Hang on, I forgot the tagline.
All right, go ahead.
Open the tin, discover the mystery.
Mm. Delicious.
Excellent marketing, Greg. I'm enchanted.
Well,
this is
and it's
great.
A really warm tin too. It does it. You know, you look at it and it's very inviting. You know, it's one
Absolutely.
Of those that it's gaslight. You know, it feels like old London. It's great.
Name but, does take me back to this video game that was never launched called Gotham by Gaslight. I think that's what it was.
Really?
Called. It was like it was Batman during like Jack the Ripper.
Okay.
Like Batman versus Jack the
okay,
Ripper. So like
yeah.
kind of a back in time London based Batman.
Okay.
And it's called Gotham by Gaslight. So, never took
like
off.
Steampunk Batman.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I better kill the rest of this.
Yeah,
hold
cheers.
On. You didn't have anything to cheer.
I had a little bit. I had a little bit out there.
So that's first sheep dip. It was interesting as I was reading about the sheep dip blended malt. They said they took the name sheep dip because apparently, you know, if you grew up with dogs, you occasionally would dip a dog to get the fleas off the dog. Okay. There's this whole process of dipping. Like you know, you put them in some kind of, solution or something to where it gets on their coat and kind of gets it off. Well, you do the same thing with sheep to protect them from bugs and that kind of thing, or any kind of mites or insects, but they would actually, to avoid taxes, they would actually mark the barrels of scotch occasionally as sheep dip. Okay, and
that
so that's where this name came from.
That's
which
awesome.
I thought was kind of interesting. So it does not taste like a product you would put on your sheep.
There you go. That's federally illegal right there. You were giving me a hard time for parking.
Absolutely.
That is tax
that's like internationally
I'm
illegal.
Telling
I think
you.
the people at our friends at The Hague could get you for like war crimes. the next one we've got here is called the Feathery Blended Malt Scotch Whiskey. And the Feathery is really interesting. I was not familiar with this until I got this bottle recently. This is a whiskey that it's a blend of Highland whiskeys. Now,
Ooh.
You know, if you say, what's a Highland whiskey? Well, that's kind of saying, like, you know, what's a human? Like, I mean, you know, well, you've got Russians, and you've got Chinese people, and you've got Asians, and, you know, I mean, there's a bunch of different kinds of humans, you know, but, and Highland whiskeys tend to be the same way. There's just a wild variety here. But what they've done is they've taken some of their, you know, favorite distilleries and made this blend.
Interesting.
This is a blend that once it's been blended, it's actually matured in sherry casks. And so it's got this kind of rich sweetness to it that it's almost like a dessert type thing. Exceptionally sweet and smooth. And this is one of those that you'll get a little peat, but I think you're going to have more more floral notes and things of that nature. So let's pop the cork.
Let's do it. Love that sound. Cheers.
Cheers.
I like that.
Cool, huh?
Yeah, I've never... That's extremely unique.
Well, and it... You know, again, think aged in a sherry cask.
Right.
Okay? And if you close your eyes, you could almost get like a mulled wine. It's really... There's a fruity component there. It's really interesting.
It's not something that would be like a go-to for me, but I am so glad I'm drinking this right now. Yeah. Like, it's very unique.
It's whiskey, but it's...
It's sweet.
But it's sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. It's funny. I would not, you know, drink this and immediately say, oh, that's scotch. You know, this is like there's even elements of it that make me think it's like a, I don't know, similar to like a Crown Royal or something. It's pretty good. It'd be
maybe
a good
like a
dessert,
really light.
Dessert scotch almost, like...
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
I love this idea that you kind of constantly see of kind of aging things in casks for other aged things.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? Like you see like even beer will be aged in a bourbon cask or something of that nature.
Right. Or tobacco that's aged in a whiskey barrel.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. This is great.
It's pretty good.
What you got for it?
Yeah, so an interesting pairing tonight. I'm really proud of this one. You've got a scotch here, of course. It's you know, got light notes of peat. You know, it's got that more sweet flavor to it, though, and so it's just real, some floral notes to it, but it's just kind of velvety sweet. I've got tonight a Daughters and Ryan tobacco product called English Hoopla. Now, Daughters and Ryan, this is Mark Ryan, of course, who is of the La Pouche Perique factory that we got the chance to tour in New Orleans, in St. James Parish. But Mark has blended a tobacco here that's a really interesting English blend. This is a full English, but it's got, you know, heavy doses of Latakia, also Virginias and Oriental tobaccos. But what's interesting about this is he's actually paired it with a little bit of vanilla topping. And I just think that's a fascinating thing. Get your nose deep in there. I want you to smell this and tell me what you think about that paired with the scotch we've selected.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Because it's so strong, but it smells kind of sweet.
There's the sweet. That's exactly right.
That's ingenious.
That's exactly right. If you know, we have a tobacco at the Country Squire, you know, if you're familiar, called Bowser's Castle. It's one of those that's like really, really heavy Latakia, but it's super velvety and just, you know, really got some notes to it. It'd be almost like that, but maybe some sweet on top of that. Really interesting.
This is one of your best pairings yet.
Well, thank you.
And you've had some winners.
I have had some winners.
I mean, they're all hits. But this is
you haven't tried this particular blend before, but you'll have to try this at some point and pair it with a, you know, a sweeter liquor like this.
Interesting.
Because, you know, it something about that I think really brings just connects well with it. Yeah,
like
it's a tobacco that, again, you've got the peat, you've got the smoke. There's a richness there. It's certainly velvety, not as much necessarily as the Gaslight. It's got these, you know, lighter color Virginias in there, so it's a citrusy kind of thing as well. But there's a vanilla on top of there that's just really subtle, really, really, really subtle, but noticeable and quite pleasant.
I love it, man. That's awesome.
Yeah,
Daughters and Ryan. You're simple 10 in terms of kind of the marketing for it, but you do have that beautiful Perique leaf. With the DNR on top of it.
That's right.
And then just kind of a pipe off to the side with the English Hoopla.
Mark does a great job. You know, he showed us around the Perique factory when we went to St. James Parish.
So
many great stories. Mark's a pistol, man. He's just a fun guy, but he knows his stuff. He makes a mean blend, and I was happy to get to interact with him.
That's awesome, man.
It was good, yeah.
Well, great pairings tonight, man.
I thought so, yeah. Thank you, man.
Look, there's nothing better than pairing up the right whiskey with the right tobacco, kind of like pairing up the right book for you.
Mm.
And you know, the great thing is, here with over 100 episodes of Country Squire Radio, you will have found a lot of great pairings with our good friends over at Audible. I'm talking about audiobooks, of course. If you head over to audibletrial.com/CSR, you can actually get yourself a free audiobook. Pair that up with your favorite tobacco. Do it today. audibletrial.com/CSR.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, we got a great pipe question of the week this week, who comes into us from Michael Shell. And this is great. This is kind of an opinion.
Yeah.
An opinion question.
We have lots of those.
We do. We have tons of opinions. He says, what do you think and are you open to, or should I consider, I love the way he worded this, buying a non-traditional pipe like the, and you might have to help me with this.
Yeah, the Vowin Diamond.
Vowin Diamond. Another example, but too far out of the current price range, is the Vowin Pursumi. Purisme.
Looks like Purisme.
Purisme.
I don't know.
That sounds good to me. I love the unique look of these, but I am not sure if the non-traditional shape or material, the inner bowl is still briar, will affect the enjoyment of the tobacco. Any advice would be great. You know, this is something that a lot of people say when they look at kind of these custom jobs and some of these extremely just beautiful artistic takes on the pipe is, yeah, it's great, but how does it smoke?
Yeah.
And so,
you know, and again, not familiar with these particular pipes, to be honest with you, but looking at the Vowin pipes now. Vowin, interesting company. This is a German company that, you know, seems to, with their pipes, kind of push the limits a little bit.
Interesting.
But their tobacco's finest. If you're a listener of our show, you know, one of my favorite tobaccos is the Vowin Tobacco number 14. It's just this real clean, crisp Virginia flake. So nice, kind of like the Chardonnay of a Virginia flake. I don't know. It's just, it'd make you slap your mama. It's fine. But, you know, they're just a great company. But they, on their pipes, do tend to, you know, kind of push the envelope a little bit with some of these. Yeah, that pipe kind of looks like a tomahawk, and I think, you know, you should give it a shot. I don't know. He mentions the Vowin Diamond and also the
That is a unique look.
Purisme, I guess you would say, and definitely are interesting. I'm always up for trying something once. You know, I say give it a shot. The folks at Vowin tend to know what they're doing. Is it going to smoke like a briar pipe that's briar through and through? Probably not. I was looking on one of these, sites. It was probably about a year ago. And it was one of these sites that sell sell themselves or build themselves as like, you know, catering to the modern gentleman, you know. So they carry updated fashions from like the, you know, 60s and 70s or something. And like maybe little knickknacks to, you know, put your iPad in or, you know, some scarves or whatever, just different things that, you know, modern men might use or wear. And they featured a pipe on this deal, okay? And the pipe was a plastic pipe, this green plastic pipe with a Italian, quote-unquote, Italian briar insert inside the bowl.
Uh-huh.
And they wanted like $500 for this thing. And I remember I even posted it to the Squire, to the Squire thing, just to say like false, you know, like click this link and just get a good laugh for the day.
When we
like,
talk about the hipster thing, that's a good definitive. If you look at this and think it's high value, you know, you're a poser win,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, anyway,
it was pretty interesting. You know, that's kind of an extreme for me, but, if the price is right, if it's something that, you know, obviously coming from a great company like Vowin, that has a good track record, knows what they're doing, and if it's not, you know, $1,200, I say pull the trigger.
And just kind of, I'm looking at the pipes here. The Purisme is, it almost looks like a golf club.
Yeah.
Like inspired by a golf club.
I could see that. I was going for tomahawk. But,
yeah, I could see that too. The diamonds.
Some of the photos with it feature, attractive ladies that, you know,
help sell the pipes.
Make it even more interesting.
Diamond, kind of an onyx type of look. Diamond, very, what do you call it? Geometric in its approach visually.
Yeah, it has a shape.
Yeah, it has a shape.
You know, like objects. and
shape. You know what I'm trying to say.
And geometry. Like, if you buy this pipe, if we have any other listeners that have experienced one of these pipes, you know, particularly something that's made of some different materials, let us know. Give us some feedback on that. That'd be a great opportunity for some listener feedback.
Yeah, that might be a great one to post out to the Facebook page, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Really appreciate that pipe question of the week there, Michael. If you've got a question for us, please send it in, csr@podastery.com.
Quick fire with the Squire.
I'm I'm just, dude. We've been out. We haven't done a traditional show in like 2 weeks.
No, it's been a couple weeks.
It's been.
I think we're doing pretty good.
Getting back in the flow of things here. Quick fire questions.
Ow!
This is awesome. Coming in from Morton Sendevi, and let me tell you, he's got a couple of different questions. He's going to cover us this week and next week.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, let's do this. Bilbo or Frodo?
I got to go with Frodo.
I got to go with Bilbo.
Really?
Well, look, Frodo obviously goes on the more epic of journeys.
Yeah, he has more adventures.
But there's something about Bilbo, just kind of the classic, more whimsical nature of everything, like all this big stuff happening around him and just how almost unaware he is, unaware of what's going on until the end.
I don't know. When I think of Bilbo, I kind of go back to, you know, the first... Is it the first part of the Fellowship of the Ring where he's kind of featured and he's this crotchety old hobbit, you know? And like, I'm thinking in my mind, like, I don't know. Frodo just seems like he gets to have more fun.
Here's the thing. Frodo, what did he do? He walked.
Yeah, but then he got to ride on those little eagle things.
Yeah, okay. He rode an eagle. Bilbo did that too, by the way. No. But Bilbo, he did the whole thing with Gollum, where, you know, the riddles in the dark.
Yeah,
that was a great thing.
Which was powerful.
Yeah, I mean, you go on Bilbo's journey, and Bilbo actually has a lot of these very specific adventures. And that's really what Bilbo's story is. It's this person who is kind of this quiet, simple person going on all of these grand adventures. Frodo, it's an epic. It's a journey. It's huge. And Frodo is kind of this almost saint-like being going through that journey and knowing very much, you know, the part that he's playing. So Frodo's cool from that angle, but no. I don't know. I like Bilbo.
When I was a kid, my uncle had a friend. I can't remember his friend's name, but he had a black and white Shetland sheepdog. And most Shetland sheepdogs are like brown and white, but this was a black and white Shetland sheepdog, and its name was Frodo.
Really?
And ever since then, I've just been a Frodo guy.
I'll tell you this. Obviously, you know, both of our children are girls. However, if me and my wife had a boy, one of the names we were considering was William Beau, Bilbo.
Oh!
Yeah. So there you go. I'm going to go Bilbo all the way.
Wow!
Arwen, or, and I cannot pronounce this girl's name right, Tariel?
I mean,
the
I don't
female
know.
Elf.
The female elf from the Hobbit movies,
right?
Yeah, I got to go with Arwen. Liv Tyler?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, no, I got to go with Arwen as well.
Yep.
She ends up becoming the queen of, like, everything.
I don't know. I just, for me, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah. And then veal or beef?
Beef.
Beef all the way. So what's for dinner? Veal, you know, they say try the veal. It's the best in the city. Don't get the veal. Iron Maiden or Judas Priest?
Iron Maiden.
Yeah, me too.
Judas Priest, that's a little too hardcore for me, I think.
I like Iron Maiden. Like,
I thought I was going to get through one night without you singing.
Some had sung. Fear of the dark.
That's the deal.
Fear of the dark.
You know, people come in the shop and they buy pipes for their husbands because they're like, this is my husband's pacifier. And see, Bo, if we could smoke right now, I'd just take this pipe and just shove it in your mouth.
Oh, man.
Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden. Yeah. I had a great beach experience once with a bunch of friends. We went up to the beach, and the entire road trip was just Iron Maiden the entire way. So.
And then you found 20 bucks.
And then we found 20. I thought about calling this episode The Stories We Tell, because
right.
I knew we would end up telling a lot of stories. I didn't know it would persist. All right, so great quick fire questions. We'll have more of those next week, so thank you. And hey, if you want to send us in some, you can, csr@podastery.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, now we've got some great listener feedback. I think for time's sake, we're running a little bit late tonight.
Yeah.
We're just going to read email.
Okay.
And this is so cool. This comes in from Filippo. And Filippo is an Italian dude living in Dublin.
Wow.
I know. I want you to read his email.
Yeah,
if you would
yeah,
say.
Absolutely. This comes from Filippo B via email. He says, hello, John, David, Bo, and Tim. I'm Filippo. I'm an Italian guy currently living in Dublin. Coming to Ireland, I decided to start listening to some podcasts and audiobooks to improve my English, and was the first search was for ones on pipe tobacco. Let's see. And the first search was for the ones pipe and tobacco related. What can I say? I just really enjoy listening to you, and I can't wait for the new episode. While JD is amazing for his knowledge of pipes and tobacco, I really have to praise Bo. I'm listening also to Panel to Screen, Flash TV Talk, and even Let's Talk Jackson.
Woo!
And I have to say he's doing an amazing job with Podastery. Man, Filippo B., thank you so much, brother. Yeah. I have to concur with all that. Bo does a great job on the whole slew of network shows, and we're thankful for him.
I got to mention this too, because in the same email, he also mentioned that he also reads my webcomic, The Brogues.
Yeah, The Brogues, right.
TheBrogues.com, if you've not checked a look at it. And it's great because what he did is he took the four primary characters from The Brogues and he sketched them and gave them each what pipe he thinks each one would smoke.
No way.
And the beautiful thing is he knows, like it is clear that he is a fan of the webcomic from the beginning because he has read the entire thing, and they are also perfect. For example, and this is the one that I just love, we've got this character called Mirror Bro, who's based off of the character Mirror Master from DC Comics. But the idea is our Mirror Bro is a narcissist. He's like all about himself. He's all about his selfies and all that kind of good stuff. So what Filippo did, he actually drew like the pipe that he picked out for Mirror Bro is a meerschaum pipe of his own face. And as he's smoking it, he's thinking, I only wish I could watch myself smoking the pipe with my face on it, or something like that. So, I mean, just
well
spot
done.
On. So anyway, we love it. Filippo, he also sent in some great quickfire questions, which we'll do in a later episode.
Man, that's great. Thanks so much for writing, man. Listening to Let's Talk Jackson all the way from Ireland.
Man, we love it.
It's so great.
Well, look, thank you so much for that feedback. And we know a lot of you guys like to write in emails. We love getting those. We also love iTunes reviews. If you haven't gotten the opportunity to head over to iTunes and write us a review, we would absolutely love for you to do that. Also, if you're not an iPhone user, if you are a user of an Android smartphone device, we want to encourage you to check out the Satchel Podcast Player, currently in beta. We've got some great new features coming out to that, so if you've not done so yet, satchelplayer.com is where you need to go to download that. And if you're on iPhone, you can still sign up to get notified once the Satchel Podcast Player is available on iPhone. Want to encourage you to keep up with us throughout the week. You can, of course, follow us on Twitter. I'm at TheRealBoYork.
I'm at John David Cole, and you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
Of course, the show's Twitter handle is at Squire Radio, and you can find all of that information at CountrySquireRadio.com, where we do broadcast the show live every single Monday night at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. That's 5:30 Pacific, 8:30 Eastern. Love for you to join us there and tweet in during the live show. Man,
I want to steal this little Mordo.
Is that not gorgeous?
Scott did such a great job on this, man. I just love it. The bamboo, it's very petite with a Mordo pipe. It pairs really well. That's a really nice light pipe.
It's a gorgeous pipe.
Why do you get all the cool stuff? Golly.
Well, I think people feel sorry. They're not going to feel sorry for me now that I've beaten you. Maybe you'll start getting some.
I might. Yeah. Now, see, I've got the next year to kind of milk, you know, this whole thing. Oh, yeah, Bo beat me at this.
It wasn't as embarrassing as mine. Not that I'm bragging about how embarrassing my loss was.
No, because it was right. Obviously, you did it just to, you know, be gracious to other people.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway. All right, man. Well, let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
You've been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.